He's wearing a Roddy Collins jacket. He's got his teeth done like Ross from Friends. He's looking magnificent, and he's ready to go.
Just for the pod, lads.
Just for the pod.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Right now, I'm delighted to say Paddy Agnew is with us. Paddy, good morning. Jay, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
I'm going to start with a commenter on YouTube, which we don't always do, but Dahi says, AC Milan, top of Serie A, play their strongest team, beaten by effectively Liverpool's B team. What's up with Serie A? Serie A looks pretty exciting at the moment, so maybe it's the wrong way to frame this conversation, but Liverpool handled their business pretty easily last night.
Yeah, I must say I agree with you. I watched the two Milan sides were playing last night, obviously Inter and AC Milan, but I watched the AC Milan game because Inter were already qualified. And frankly, at no stage during the game did I think AC Milan were going to win it. It's not true to say they were feeling their strongest team. There are a number of players missing, but nonetheless, the players who have been very important for them throughout the season and who did play last night, like, for example, the French fullback, Théo Fernandez, to some extent, Ibanez, Ibrahim up in front, they just didn't play in the night. And they seem to me to be a little bit intimidated by the Liverpool reputation.
Is that really where AC Milan are at the moment? That this isn't a team who has a backbone of players who fully understand exactly what it means to qualify from the group stages of the Champions League and to go toe-to-toe with a team like Liverpool. That we're seeing a young side evolve and that we shouldn't expect too much of them just yet, despite the fact that they're fighting it out at the top of Serie A at the moment.
Yeah, I think most people would agree. They, they're top of Serie A at the moment, but frankly, Inter, Atalanta, Napoli look like the three sides that were going to fight out the title this season. And Milan are not really in anybody's. They talk as if they want to win the title, but I don't think they've got the overall strength. I mean, it's indicative that last night they had to bring Ibrahimovic off the injury bench basically to lead the attack, and he didn't do an awful lot, did he?
Is that his last game in the competition, do you reckon? Zlatan's last game?
One would think so. I mean, he's 39 now, isn't he? He's not going to can't expect him to play on for a lot longer.
It's interesting, isn't it, considering that has been the one thing that has given, I presume, a lot of Milan fans hope, the sense that this is a very young squad, this is a squad going in the right direction, and it's a squad for the future, and yet at the same time there is maybe a little bit of a reliance on a 39-year-old striker.
Yeah, you said it. The thing about Ibrahimovic is that you can't really call him a striker anymore because, he doesn't have he's a lot slower than he used to be. So he plays behind the front man, really. And he's there. And he has been very successful, particularly since he came back from America Christmas last year. I mean, he's been very successful at putting a whole different shape on this Milan side because he is so experienced and he's got a lot of tricks. He can still use his headlock. He can still spray the ball about. He is still effective. He too is an intimidating presence in the penalty area, the set pieces, etc., etc. So for all those reasons, he's done a great job for AC Milan. But, if you're talking about winning the title, if you're talking about doing well in the Champions League, I'm not sure that he is the answer. He's certainly not the long-term answer.
It's very hard to see a team who has Ibrahimovic in it as having a specific identity in the modern terms of it, unless maybe there is an old-school Catenaccio at play at Milan. How would you describe this Milan team right now?
Well, I don't think it's like Catenaccio. I mean, purely the coach, if you look at it, And certainly it's an effect of Italy winning the European Championship in the summer. But I mean, a lot of the sides have been a bit more aggressive this season. And Pioli plays a lot of time with leaving just as two central defenders on a man-to-man situation with a lot of guys up front. His full-backs, you know, people like Fernandes, are normally spend more time in the opposition's half of the field than in their own. He didn't do that last night, by the way, Fernandes, but that's another story. But it's not that they're playing an old type Catenaccio. It's just that there are a lot of players on that side that haven't had the experience of Champions League football, and this year will have been this run through this autumn will have done them a lot of good.
In terms of the Inter team at the moment and their identity, what are they? Who are they? What are they playing like?
Well, if you had to ask me who's going to win the championship this year, Serie A championship, I'd say Inter. Conte came to Inter, what was it, 3 years ago now, and he set about, as he always does, crafting a seriously aggressive side and creating a winning mentality, and he succeeded. Now, they've lost, arguably, their two of their best players last year in Lukaku and Hakimi, the full back stroke right-side midfielder. But, I mean, they've got a new coach in Simone Inzaghi, who've done well with Lazio. They started off the season with a few hiccups here and there, inevitably having, changed personnel. But they're starting to play like a seriously good team at the moment. Last Saturday, they absolutely humiliated Jose Mourinho's Roma. They were 3-0 up at the Olympic Stadium in Rome after half an hour. And, they look like a very, very good team. And they were already qualified when they played Real Madrid last night. They didn't play too badly by all accounts. They were unlucky to be 1-0 down at half time, but they never recovered from that. They managed to get somebody sent off. They got Barella, their important midfielder. They got him sent off. But anyway, those are the details for the next leg of the Champions League for them. The important thing is that for the first time in about 10 seasons, they're back in. They've got beyond the group stage of the Champions League, which, under various different coaches in the last few years, they've got so far, but not into the second round.
Was there a sense, Paddy, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago when players started to come to Serie A with greater regularity, players of a really high profile, that this was going to become a league that could properly challenge the likes of the Premier League and La Liga? And how much did the summer of last year damage that? I mean, the fact that Lukaku and as you say, Hakimi got brought away and tempted away from Inter Milan pretty easily, it seemed, once the cash actually was forthcoming.
I don't think, anybody who follows Italian football closely would think for a second there was any way that Serie A is going to compete with the Premiership or indeed even Spanish football or indeed at times German football at the moment. I think, when I first came here 35 years ago, this was the Hollywood of football, and this was where it was all happening. It was by a long way the best European league at the time, but it's that's a long time ago, and it's that's not the way things are at the moment. What people feel is, and what Milan, AC Milan, Inter Milan, less Napoli to some extent, but certainly what Italian clubs are having to learn is that they've got to spend a lot more time and energy and thought in their youth teams and develop their own players. And that, it is increasingly, it seems to me, it's going to be a market for improving young players, mainly Italian, but obviously some young foreigners, who, if they're really good, will want to move on to Spain or England. And it's a market for them and, of course, for ageing stars, because we're, you know, Ibrahimovic is the obvious example, but there are Ronaldo's to some extent, although you mightn't call him he's different. But anyway, players who seem to be at the end of their careers coming here for a last hurrah.
That's really interesting, right? Because, I mean, I think a lot of us of a certain age will remember that period of time when it was the Hollywood of football. We would tend to, in the past, have said, oh, these things are cyclical, Serie A will make a comeback. But the way you're talking, it feels like it's actually, there's a track here, and it's not a cycle, that we're not going to see Juventus or AC Milan or Inter bubble back up to being a true European superpower again. Is that the case?
Well, the moon's very hard to predict them doing that. But you have to say that with you have to qualify that by saying this is a country where football matters a lot. Hands up who expected Italy to win the European Championships. What I would say is that the European Championship, the win, proved that there's a fundamental seam of talent that runs through Italian football and isn't going to go away. There's no sense of that going away. What the problem is that top level club football today is a very, very big business. And in business terms, very few of the Italian clubs have actually caught up. And, you know, they've been stuck in a very parochial Italian view of the world and haven't plugged into the globalised multinational world, of which the Premiership is the best example. And they're trying to play catch up on it now. For example, you know, I'll give you a small example, but it was revealing enough. Like, you know, Juventus, of the big Italian clubs, Juventus remain the only one who have their own club. The rest of the team are their own football pitch, their own stadium. The rest of the club continue to play in state-owned, you know, city corporation-owned stadiums. They lose quite a lot in revenue because of that. It's just a small thing. But, I mean, a lot of the sides now, Roma, Lazio, Fiorentina, Bologna, they've all got plans to build themselves a new stadium. But, I mean, that's something they should have been thinking about 30 years ago.
It certainly leaves them behind. The counter-argument is, of course, then that you don't get yourselves into the 600 million debt that, say, Spurs have. But the point about the globalisation is really interesting because Italian migrants, you know, famously travelled around the world, and so there would be a willing market wherever you want to do some business. And you would have thought that a brand name like Juventus or Milan would have been able to somehow capitalise the way that the English clubs have done on their globalised markets, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, they had to a certain extent. I mean, I think Milan claimed to have 400 million fans around the world, right? Or something like that. I heard that figure quoted just the other day. The question is, you know, there are one or two exceptions to the rule, and Milan, Juventus would be the two most obvious ones. Inter, but quite a few. I've got a big following in Asia too. But for historical, colonial reasons, as well as for football reasons, the Premiership wins the day when you get onto the international market.
Yeah, and just on that then, I'm not really sure how connected this is, but there was maybe the sense back in April when the Super League was in the headlines that maybe Andrea Agnelli represented the greatest sympathiser towards it. He was the greatest force for the Super League at that point. Is there a view within Italian football, Paddy, that goes along with that, the sympathetic tone towards the Super League? Because I know maybe the last time we heard from Agnelli, he said, I'm not giving up on this thing just yet.
Yeah, I think the answer is yes, because, I mean, the Super League failed at least failed thus far, because of English fans, Chelsea fans, Manchester United fans and others, no? When it was announced here at first, in the first couple of days before it had failed, there was no question of a lot of people said, oh, God, don't like that. That isn't a good idea. But there was no question of a fan revolt here. Therefore, I think, you know, a lot of fans here would see it as they'd see it as inevitable and see that Agnelli's interest in it was prompted by the fact that he was trying to raise extra cash in view of the fact that he was denied a lot of box office receipts from because of COVID. And he was trying to sort of fill the hole.
The one other thing then, obviously, the one club we haven't mentioned, I guess, in the context of Italian football is Atalanta. And it's a huge match tonight, possibly the biggest match of the night. It's Atalanta against Villarreal. They're at home tonight. Winner goes through. How are they fixed for this, Paddy? What sort of a season has it been for Atalanta? And are they still at that level when they did get to the knockout stages a couple of seasons ago?
Yeah, the answer is I'd say they're well fixed for it. They're, you know, you come to these games and, you know, so much depends on how many injuries you have and how the mood is. But they're absolutely in terrific form at the moment. You know, they have delivered some wonderful football even this season. They've started off a little bit slowly, but they're starting to play well now. And I would expect him to use a Jack Charlton term. I really expect him to give it a lash tonight. And if I had to put money down tonight, I'd put it on Atalanta. I mean, they're also playing at home as well in their own... there, by the way, Atalanta, one of the things about them, terrific scouting system, very tight business organisation. They have their own stadium, a lovely little stadium up in Bergamo. And this will be, you know, it's only a relatively new stadium. And they're really looking forward to celebrating their new stadium with what is clearly one of the biggest European games, the home European games they've ever played.
Yeah, one of the true stories of maybe how you should do your business in Italian football over recent years. Paddy, always great to have you with us. Thanks a million for making the time for us.
Thank you.
It's Paddy Agnew live from Rome there this morning, giving us some insights into the story of Italian football at the moment.